Falcons fans, after hearing it for a few weeks now, we are back for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast. You guys missed us, and we appreciate that. So we decided to come back. We being Daniel Cox, I'm Jay Adams, we've got Chrissy Briere here. We're all back, ready to go for another edition of the podcast. So I think it's great that so many people were like yelling at us, like literally scolding us on Twitter that we haven't done one of these in a little while.
Absolutely. That means more than our mothers are listening.
Right. which is great. Yeah. Shout out to Carol and
Ms. Ann Cox
for listening to the podcast every week. But it is definitely nice to know that more than mom is tuning in every week to listen to us. So we apologize. Things have been extremely busy during training camp. But now we found some time, and we are podcasting currently.
Yes, we are.
We are.
You know, for the record, I think everyone should know that we did attempt a podcast.
We did, but then there was a piece of news that came out.
We extended the contract of a quarterback.
Yeah, you know, and whatever. Right in the middle of a great story about us whittling wood.
Yeah. Which,
well, we're not going to revisit story, yeah. Thankfully. I think that call that I got in the middle of our podcast recording three weeks ago now?
Yeah, it was the day
first day of camp.
Yes, I don't remember when that was.
I think that saved you all from about 5 minutes
of complete nonsense
of analysis on whittling wood and the accidents thereof. I still have a scar on my finger from that. So. Anyways, lots has happened since we last took to the microphones to talk about the Falcons. So we just completed the open sessions of practice. Camp does not break until the 17th, which is this coming Saturday. So, you know, there's still a little bit more camp to go. Got 3 preseason games left. We got Baltimore coming up this week. Thursday night on CBS Atlanta locally. If you cannot watch locally within the Atlanta metro area, please check out Preseason Live, where you can access all 65 preseason games from the NFL and not miss the Falcons through the rest of the preseason. But boy, a lot's happened. Where do we even start?
That's a good question.
That's the question.
Yes. I think we should start.
What's on your mind? Yeah. What's on your mind?
I have a lot on my mind, but
as far as football goes.
I think from a training camp perspective, I think the biggest story, the things that we hear the most on Twitter, the things I feel like we're writing about it or referencing it every couple of days, and it became even more apparent in last week's game against the Bengals. Desmond Trufant and Robert Alford.
Huge story.
They're here, and they're not going anywhere.
No.
They don't really care what anyone thinks.
No.
Because they're out there to play.
And listen, it's kind of like I'm not familiar with this set of movies and as far as watching them goes, but you know, I can see on Twitter at times, like, there's the teams, like Team Edward or something from Twilight.
Oh, no. I have no
idea. See, I don't know anything about that. Maybe Chrissy. Maybe
Star
Chrissy
Wars,
can, you know, enlighten us a little bit on that.
I mean, of course you guys know nothing about Twilight, but yes, there are teams out there. There's Team Alford and there's Team Trufant going out there and battling on Twitter, basically the same way the guys are battling on the field. It's pretty cool to see.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, is you've got this set of fans who are really rooting for Alford to take that position. You've got this set of fans that really think it's Trufant's. And I mean, it's a good problem to have when you look at it. You can never have too many cornerbacks. And I think when you've got a position right now that's so highly competitive at that spot across from Asante Samuel. I mean, look, these two guys in future years are going to be on the field at the same time. You know that right now. Okay, so as a fan, I think you're just like, whatever happens this year is gravy, because whether it's Trufant starting, whether it's Alford starting, you know that in years to come, your two cornerback spots are locked up, and that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and you've got a still young guy in Robert McClain, who looks like he's penciled in as your slot corner. What and Peter King from the Monday Morning Quarterback.com recently wrote about after his visit to the Falcons camp. He talked about it, you know, Thomas Dimitroff's. It was sort of, it was considered an unusual approach to the draft, taking two corners with his top two picks, but it's starting to look like it was a really wise move. And you and I talked about this in the offseason after the draft, and so many people were, you know, why did we take two corners when we need defensive ends? And we discussed the idea that Alford was going to be selected also because of his return skills.
Yeah.
And I think we saw a little bit of that Thursday as well, and I think the ideal situation would be, you know, for Trufant and Alford to be contributing on the field as corners, and then Alford can really maybe take that punt returner's job and do something nice with it.
Absolutely, and you know, you like to see that versatility in any of your players. But you look at the two corners, and they're two very different corners. I see Trufant is more of a finesse guy. He's going to be hard to beat. He's going to break up a lot of passes. But I see Alford as that physical guy who I think may at some point he's gonna draw some flags. He's that type of guy who is going to go out there. He's going to hit hard, and he's going to get physical. He's going to let a receiver know he's there. Mm-hmm. And while that's great, you know, there's of course that line that he's got to find within his game in the NFL. I've seen him a couple of times in practice, and I've been like, wow, that was a great play. And then next play, I'm like, that probably would have gotten a flag.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's still a lot for him to learn, as there's a lot for Trufant to learn, especially since, you know, he missed most of the offseason training activities. So I think both of these guys, where they're at right now, though, is amazing. And even Roddy White said it yesterday. He said at the start of camp, we were beating these guys.
Yeah.
We can't beat these guys anymore. Speaking of him and Julio facing Trufant and Alford. And what a compliment to get from two Pro Bowl wide receivers.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about this whole thing, is seeing that progression. And I think we've seen it. And I think one of the things that I heard, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but somewhere along the way, after the opening story of camp when, you know, Alford and Trufant were getting beat on the field,
mm-hmm.
and it was evident, and you know, there's no mistaking that, but I continued to hear, and I saw it some, in those one-on-one reps, corners versus wide receivers, you know, Trufant and Alford were kind of manipulating the line of guys going to make sure they were getting the chance to go against Julio and Roddy consistently. And I think that says a lot about their attitude, and it's clear that they're starting to win some of those battles, and that's nice to see for rookies.
Yep, absolutely. I want to move on to the all-important right tackle position, because I know that this is a position that is weighing on a lot of people's minds right now. Obviously, last week with the injury to Mike Johnson, out for the year, on injured reserve with a bad leg injury, and I was there. I saw it. We wish nothing but the best for Mike in his recovery. But it leaves that opening, and you've got Lamar Holmes on one side, and then what? Ryan Schrader.
Yeah.
Who, and everybody is, you know, if you haven't been following our coverage, you're like, who in the world is Ryan Schrader?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Division II guy. He's 6'7". He's 300 pounds. Big boy.
Yeah.
And he's learning both sides. He's learning left tackle. He's learning right tackle. And he's in the competition now with Holmes. It's not Holmes' spot to lock up right now. I think it's kind of even between the two. But I think this is the beauty of the preseason. We've seen this argument for so long now that you need to limit the number of games in the preseason and everything. But right now, if I'm the coaching staff, I'm looking at it, okay, we've got three games to figure this out. Okay, yeah. Three very important games to figure out this right tackle spot and whether we need to think about bringing somebody else in, or if we're confident in Holmes or Schrader taking over that right tackle spot. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I love the upside of Schrader. He looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think either one of those guys, whoever wins it, the other guy, I feel like it's going to be that backup, that swing guy that maybe can go left and right. You know, Coach Smith, when he's discussed Lamar Holmes, he keeps reminding us that, you know, he was drafted in the third round, and that's kind of that round where, you know, those guys, first, second, third rounders, are guys that are expected to come in and eventually compete and be starters. Mike Johnson was a third rounder as well, 2010. That's what's so heartbreaking about that situation, because he's worked so hard to have that opportunity, and here it was, and, you know, but it is what it is. But I thought Lamar Holmes did a nice job as far as pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, run blocking, we saw some stuff we didn't like him. We'd like to see improve, and we will see what happens there. But as far as pass protection, I thought he did real nice, mm-hmm. you know, really well. So, you know, we'll see. But I think Lamar needs to improve that run blocking aspect. And from what I understand from listening to coaches and things, that's a technique kind of thing. It's something that can be learned, I think, and improved quickly. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's certainly one of those positions that, you know, we knew coming into it was going to be, we need to keep our eye on this position. And, of course, it's definitely turned out to be that way. One position that I think has caught all of us by surprise, however, is the linebacker position.
Ah, yes.
Linebacker. And you look at Thursday night and you're like, okay, you've got Sean Weatherspoon, who's currently injured. You've got Steven Nicholas. You've got Akeem Dent. Those are your three starters from last year. Then you've got a host of young guys behind them. Of course, you've got Robert James, who's a veteran, who's a heck of a special teamer. And then Pat Schiller, who spent last year on the practice squad. And then behind them are three guys who are relative unknowns, and one of them comes out and makes a heck of a performance during his preseason debut, Paul Warlow, of course, with 12 tackles against the Bengals. And now suddenly that's a position where we're wondering what's going on.
Yeah, it was definitely good to see someone like Paul Warlow come out, because everyone was like, who is this guy? And, you know, I even was wondering, how do I spell his name properly at first, because I hadn't used it all season yet. So it was interesting to see him come out and beast the way he did. But even coming from someone as a fan's perspective, to see Brian Banks take that field that night was so powerful, and to see the fans support him the way they did. It was just a beautiful thing. I just wanted to point that out and make that a, you know, something that we should talk about. But he looked good. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what Paul Warlow can continue to do in these next preseason games, and see if he can bring the same fire that we've gotten, you know, from last season from Weatherspoon, who we know is very vocal. But I'm definitely looking forward to looking at that linebacker position.
Yeah, I think it's ultimately – that is probably the one position right now that I'm looking at where the most difficult decisions are going to be made when it comes time to cuts, because it all depends on these four or three preseason games that are remaining. You mentioned Banks, and of course, he's the guy that everybody's rooting for. But the fact that he didn't come in until the fourth quarter kind of leads you to wonder, you know, Where are we at with him? Warlow comes in, and I think at the end of the first quarter, or right at the start of the second quarter,
second wave of linebackers.
Second wave of linebacker, along with Joplo Bartu, mm-hmm. who's another undrafted guy. Both of those guys got a lot of work. In fact, they were in the top five as far as snap percentage goes. And then you got a guy like Clancy, who I think we're waiting to see a little bit more from. And then you've got Banks. So there are some guys there. You have some real good talent there. Again, a good problem to have. I'm not trying to make this a negative thing, but the you know, one of the big questions is there going to be room for Brian Banks on this roster? And, you know, there's still time, and we've got to see how all this shakes out. But the thing is, you want to talk about a position area where there's a lot of guys kind of on an even level. And the big question right now for Paul Warlow is, can he do it again? And that's what he's got to prove. And I actually mentioned that in the five things we learned from camp on Saturday. I asked him flat out. I said, are you worried at all about the expectations that you've set? And Paul is, I mean, just about as humble a guy as you can imagine, and just like the nicest guy in the world. And he's like, nah, I'm not worried about that. It's like no big deal, right? It's like I just had 12 tackles in my preseason debut, NBD, you know?
Yeah.
But he's kind of set the bar high for himself. And to me, I wonder, okay, if he comes out the next game, he gets only two or three tackles in the same amount of work, where does that put us? He's got to prove that Thursday night wasn't a fluke.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I was just thinking about that scenario and what would that look like if he came out with three tackles. And that's not a bad game. I mean, that's
no.
You know,
he's an undrafted rookie
or whatever. Yeah,
I think, you know, if he comes out and he has only three tackles in the next game, it just means that other teams have either figured him out, or, you know, it doesn't mean the end of the world. But I think it's fair to point out that the expectation level, at least among our fan base, mm-hmm. is very high for number 49.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's a good problem to have, like you say. I think what the most interesting thing to me about the linebacker position is you kind of squared away with your starters, but and it kind of represents what we've kind of seen this whole offseason with the Falcons all across the roster is this, like, you know, the movement towards your depth guys being a little bit younger. All these guys are young guys, with the exception of Robert James. I don't think people understand much about Robert James, but he was drafted with Matt and Harry Douglas and Corey Bierman. He was in that class, and he's been here.
Unsung guy among that group who has really developed. Spent a lot of time on the practice squad mm-hmm. and then came up to his last year of eligibility and actually made the 53-man roster. And has been a great special teamer since, mm-hmm. and that's a valuable thing. I think when you look at these young linebackers, hey, Paul Warlow, great job getting 12 tackles out there. But you got to show up on special teams, and he did. He had a hell of a night on special teams as well. But you've got to look at how does Bartu, how does Clancy, how does Banks, how do those guys do on special teams?
Yeah.
And it's not so much about how they play in the base packages.
Yeah, and the special teams thing is important everywhere, too. And we've got something coming up on Drew Davis, who's one of
do
mine.
Do we?
We do, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe on the website. If the magician that magically controls the website from the ivory tower or wherever, if he decides to push that button.
Oh, we will push anyway, that button.
But you know, all those guys, I mean – Making a team in training camp is not just about 12 tackles, you know, in a one game. It's your entire body of work, and it's a lot of what you do on special teams as well. And we continually remind people of that. But a guy like Drew Davis, you know, he had a nice game with he had a couple of catches, and he's put together a nice body of work last season. But he's the first one to tell you special teams is where I make this team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, we've covered a lot.
Covered a lot of stuff. It's amazing.
A lot of stuff.
If we talk quickly, we can,
I know.
We can discuss 2 weeks worth of
right.
stuff.
Well, here's what I want to do. I'm throwing this little curveball at both of you. So get it together. Get your lives together right now. Okay. We're playing Thursday night. We are playing at, Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium, I believe. And what I want from you is two players, one player from offense, one player from defense that fans need to keep an eye on for Thursday night's game. And I'll go first since I brought up the topic because I don't want any crying, and you guys can take your time to think about.
Okay.
And actually right now I'm stalling so that I can think about my.
If you need me to go, I can go.
Oh, okay. Daniel's going to go ahead.
Right,
go ahead.
Right.
Well, you're going to take my guys. This is my problem.
Yeah, here we go. On offense, I'm going to go with Harry Douglas.
Good.
And that's not, everybody knows who Harry is, but I really liked seeing what Harry did on the outside. And, when I spoke to Coach Rubisky yesterday, wide receivers coach, he said, Harry's our slot guy. It just so happened because Julio was out. He was on the outside. But Harry, we haven't given Harry a lot of talk, a lot of coverage, but I feel like he's been incredibly solid during this camp. I've seen him make catches that maybe he wouldn't have made in the past years, and I've seen him look a little different in terms of how he's able to make things happen on the field. I think there's some playmaking in Harry that we've yet to see, and I think we saw that last week with that, 42-yard run.
Impressive 42-yard.
That screen pass is.
Let me ask you though, what'd you think about the old haymaker? It was kind of a stiff arm, but it was more of like a haymaker to get a couple of those extra yards. That was kind of nice.
Harry was sneaking touchdowns.
Harry's fighting. He's gonna fight.
Yeah,
he's that guy who's gonna fight for those extra yards.
Absolutely.
I like to see that out of him.
So I think. There's not always going to be enough passes to go around to please everybody in this offense, or not please, but to get them outstanding numbers, and we see that a little bit with Harry, unfortunately. But I just think there's a season ahead for Harry that's going to be pretty interesting, a little bit different, and I think it'll be fun to see him do a couple more things, and he's going to hope, assuming Julio Jones, who's returned to full participation this week, assuming he's back in the lineup, Harry will be back in the slot, so we'll see what happens. So that's my guy on offense. my guy on defense, I haven't yet gotten there, thought about it. Corey Bierman. I'm going to go with Corey Bierman.
He may not play much now.
You think?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Well, when I went back and looked last year in the second game of the season or preseason, most of the stars across the board played into the middleways through the first
quarter.
You're
absolutely right. So, you're absolutely right.
Matt and the ones played 27 snaps roughly. A little bit different on defense, but you can. I think you'll see something similar. You know, I just want to continue to... Corey Bierman's just... For me, that Bierman is that wild card guy this season. Another year in Nolan's unique system. Bierman's a unique player.
And a guy that we didn't mention, which makes us remiss. We didn't mention him in the linebacker discussion when this we just had.
Very true.
And he is very much a part of that group, as we've seen him being pulled onto different sides of the field. It's it's like Ray Hamilton and Glenn Pyers have to fight over him sometimes. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're right. But that's the thing is – watching him make some plays from linebacker, watching him do some things in coverage in addition to rushing as a defensive end opposite OC, it's going to be pretty interesting, I think. So those are my guys, Harry Douglas and Corey Bierman.
Okay, I like it. Chrissy, you ready? Or
I mean, I got my boxing gloves on. I'm ready to
go here.
All right,
we'll save the best for last then.
Well, I'm having a hard time on offense because I think I'm looking at a collective group. I'm looking to see what our running backs can do in this upcoming game. That's a problem that I think that needs to be addressed. We know Matt can launch that ball, but he's going to need the relief of being able to hand the ball off to someone and making a big play for him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what these young guys can do, you know, the ones that are coming in up under Steven Jackson. Of course, we know we have Jaquiz. So I want to see, you know, Wingo. What are these guys going to bring to the table for us? And then on defense, you guys know I follow, a lot of different teams, and I look to see what they're going to be going after. And I know for the Ravens, their big thing this week is going to be receivers. So I want to see what our guys can do on defense. I'm looking at Alford for sure. I want to see how he can go up against Laquan Williams, who had a big first game for the Ravens. I want to see if he's going to be able to shut him down a few times. I'm just really wanting to see Alford, Trufant, and possibly Bartu as well on special teams.
All right. I like it. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up with my I don't have any matchups from the other team. Miss one up everybody.
Should have saved the best for last.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll start out with offense, and I think the one position that I'm really keeping my eye on other than right tackle, I think, of course, you need to keep your eye on Lamar Holmes and Ryan Schrader. But the other position I'm keeping my eye on is the tight end position, and I want to see a little bit more of how Chase Kaufman and Levine Toilolo kind of handle the extra reps that they're getting. Toilolo had a decent night the other night. Saw some good snaps. I think he also was in about the top five as far as snap percentage goes. But I'm really excited about Chase Kaufman, and I like his abilities as a pass catcher. I think the big issue is you got to find out, okay, who's your blocker out of this group that you've currently got. We know what Tony can do, of course. We're seeing what Chase can do. We're seeing what Toilolo can do. But is it Zerba? Is Zerba your jumbo guy, or are you going to use another offensive lineman like we've seen in the past? We've seen Mike Johnson run out of that jumbo set a lot. So I'm kind of looking at that position, and namely, if I'm naming one player, I'm going to say Toilolo because I kind of want to see what he brings to the table from a blocking perspective, and I want to see how his hands are maturing so far. On the defensive side of the ball, I think if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I'm doing this whole Paul Warlow thing. I like the kid. I think he's great. We'll see how that carries on, if it carries on. But I am going to depart from him a little bit, and I'm going to talk about another linebacker. But I've said from right about the moment I found out about this kid and did some research on him that he's going to be one to watch, and that's Joplo Bartu. We've kept an eye on him. I don't know that you're going to see his impact the same way we saw Paul Warlow, meaning Paul's going to get you 12 tackles. Bartu may only get you like four or five, But watch how he covers, and watch how he covers specifically tight ends. I've seen him during practice, and he goes up against our tight ends. He'll go up against Kaufman. He'll go up against Toilolo, and he'll have a pretty good showing against those guys. Of course, he hasn't, as far as I can remember, going up against Tony Gonzalez for the 2 days that Tony was here, which I think would be a pretty true test to see where he's at as far as that part of the game goes. But I think he's worth keeping an eye on just because of the coverage ability that he brings. And, I mean, let's remember, he is a tackler too. He got 62 tackles in his final four games. I know I've said that stat a lot, but at Texas State, they move him from defensive end to linebacker in the last four games, and he gets 62 tackles. That's an average of 15.5 tackles per game.
Wow.
So the kid can be all over the place. I noticed he was all over the ball the last game. So that's my other guy to keep an eye on.
Good call. I like him.
Thank you. But remember, we'll have my eight players to watch Thursday morning before the game. And
I bet I knew two of them already.
Yes. We'll see if I take either of yours into consideration up in my ivory tower. All right. Well, Falcons fans, thanks so much for joining us. We hope we have satisfied your craving for FalconCast podcast. And we promise, right, Daniel? We
absolutely
promise that sort of that we'll be back next week, right?
22 maybe more podcasts, 22 straight weeks?
Yes. From here on, that's our goal, unless we get sick. What if we get sick?
The podcast will happen whether that happens or not, right?
The podcast is here regardless of us.
Because we've each took our turns with illnesses last year.
Yeah.
But the podcast still occurred.
Yes. If we're either sick, either of us are sick, then Chrissy has to podcast by herself. And we're not responsible for anything that she may or may not.
Well, at least whittling wouldn't be discussed. So I think we'll be okay, guys.
Listen, I think that one goes in the archives. Those, that one that didn't see the light of day. And
that's our B-roll right there.
That is it. Well, Falcons fans, thanks again for joining us on the FalconCast podcast. We will be back at you next week after the Falcons take on the defending Super Bowl champions, the Baltimore Ravens, in the second preseason game of the year. And we will talk to you then.